was trying to think of a title for the message. You know, this is always the hard part, right? Coming up with the right title. I was coming up with all this really dumb stuff, you know? And not that this isn't. But loneliness, one. And then I got to think of this song, because I was living in that era, of course. And those guys sold like 87 million copies. That's a lot. That's how big they were. How many know who Three Dog Night is? You ever heard of them? Okay. Great singers, those guys were. And pretty unusual for the time. But I that kept ringing through my head. The bad thing is, after I watched that, then I had to watch about 10 other videos related to it, because it has all the history and part of my life, so I had to go back and look at it. And then afterwards, all I could hear was, "One is the lonely," you know, I'm going, all day long. And Leslie's looking at me like, "Can you cut that out?" You know, just singing to myself. But yeah, one is a lonely number. And by the way, these little cards here that I'm struggling to pick up with my stubby fingers, these are called our cards for new people that come, that we get information so that we can, like, charge your bank account and all this good. No. So we don't sell it to any, you know, mailing lists or anything. But it's important, because if you've never filled one of these out, it's hard for us, because we want you involved in our Connect groups. And this is one way we know what part of town you live in. If you live in Belgium, you live in the Netherlands. If you've got family, you know, what your situation is a little bit. How to get a hold of you. How to email you. It's important stuff. And quite frankly, every week I talk to people. "Hey, have you ever filled out one?" "No." "How long have you been coming?" "Oh, a year." I'm like, "Really? This is your church. Come on, let's connect a little bit here. Fill us in on your life somewhat. Don't worry, we're not going to come and be peepers or anything at your windows. We want to be a part of your life. We want you to be a closer part too." So if you have never filled out one of these, would you raise your hand if you're willing to fill one out today, that is? And we have someone that's going to come around. Keep your hand up, please. You, Annalise. Oh, see, what am I saying? Case in point, Annalise. But at least you have the guts to raise your hand. Okay, and she has pens if you need a pen. How about on this side? Anyone over here? All right, smoking you out. Anyone? Yeah, Leah. Theo, you've never filled. Oh, yeah. Wait, I got to get mileage out of this now. Here. Yeah. Anyone else over here? Good. Thank you. Yeah, okay. Ladies, you filled out all this stuff, right? Yeah. Okay. Anyone else getting away? Lock the doors, okay? Anyone else? Well, good. Thank you. Now, the next trick is, please fill it out. And don't leave it on your seat. Give it to us. Matter of fact, you can fill it out now if you like, but get it back to myself, Ursula, Celine, any of us that you're familiar with, so that we can get that in our database and tell you a little bit more about this stuff that's coming up. I left my sermon back here. Yeah, that's, she's like, "What are you coming back here for?" See the look on her face. Yeah, so that's the deal. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, I remember this. I went to this youth convention. I was a youth pastor for 19 years in Missouri. And I went to this youth convention, and there was a speaker there. At the time, I thought he was pretty cool. But he got into some problems later in his life, but that's neither here nor there. But he was speaking about one of these stories that really has stuck with me. And it's the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer at Michmash. I love that word, Michmash. Sounds like some kind of Dutch recipe, like stampot, Michmash. And Michmash was this treacherous area with cliffs on either side. And the Israelites were surrounded by the Philistines. The Israelites were way outnumbered. I think Saul had something like 600 men, and I mean, just crazy odds, you know. And Jonathan and his armor bearer, Jonathan gets this idea because the Philistines had made sure there were no blacksmiths in Israel to form weapons. And so the only weapons they really had were things like plowshares. I'm not sure what a... Does anyone really know what a plowshare is? Okay, but that's the word. Do you know what it is? Is it the furrowing thing? Okay, well, that's what I thought, but I can't imagine that as a weapon. It'd be a pretty cruel weapon, though. And sickles, and, you know, just kind of farming implements is what they had. And so here's this army with this stuff that looked like they ought to be gardeners, and they're facing the Philistines, and there is one sword and one spear in the whole camp, and Jonathan is the holder of one of those. So, you know, everyone's cowering in the rocks, and the Philistines are sending out raiding parties. And finally, Jonathan says, you know, he says this, actually. Let's just show the verse. It's in 1 Samuel. One is alone. Is alone. That guy's got a voice. Okay. And it goes sort of like this. It'll come up in a minute, but you can trust me. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel. How many of you all brought a Bible? Ooh, okay, quiz time. Yeah, yeah. Good for you. Good for you. Take notes. Occasionally something might be said, God will say, I want this for you. 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 7 goes like this. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. That's a statement itself. Here's a guy with one sword and an armor bearer. I keep picturing this guy looking like Jar Jar Binks or something, you know. You know, and they're going to take on the Philistine army. And it says, then he goes on to say, here's what the armor bearer says. Do all that you have in mind, says the armor bearer. But go ahead, I am with you heart and soul. I'm thinking either this guy is a complete idiot or his trust in Jonathan, his friendship, his relationship with Jonathan is so intact that he's saying, hey, I'm with you. If you go down, I'm going down. We're going to see what God can do. Just the two of us. I'll be right behind you climbing up the cliff. And, you know, the story goes, Jonathan says, well, here's how it's going to work. We're going to show ourselves to them. And, you know, like that's going to scare them. And they're if they say come up to where they're at, that means God has given them and us them into our hands and we're going to win. I'm like, does that logic sound good to you? They're going to call me up with my one sword amongst their thousands and that means I win. Somehow that sounds like sure death. But so they climb up. Because the Philistines say, come on, and we'll teach you a lesson. So they get up to the top, and it says that Jonathan starts killing these people right and left, and his armor bearer behind them is behind, just taking them out. And in 1 acre, I don't know, I don't remember the number, but they slaughter all these Philistines. And it says that God sent such a panic into this Philistine camp, they turn on each other and begin to annihilate themselves. And of course, Saul and the rest of the army are like, hey, you know, is that the sound of victory? And they're like, they come out from the rocks now, right? You know, big time. And so, you know, God sends a panic in the middle of all that. And it's all because of the faith of one guy that says, what can stop God from saving? Many or few? It doesn't matter. If God's in it, we win. God not, we don't. God's in it, we win. And his armor bearer says, do as you wish. I'm with you the whole way. I'm right behind you. And, you know, as it turns out, their faith and unity turned out to be that catalyst for a miracle. I mean, why would a man risk his life and join his faith with that of a friend like that in that situation? You know, really, I'm sure, no matter how much money this armor bearer was getting paid, if any, that his life was a whole lot more valuable. There had to be something deeper than that. There was a relationship between Jonathan and his armor bearer of trust that was built on. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have an armor bearer in your life? And who are you an armor bearer for? Who are you investing in? Do you have a relationship? You know, this age of social media, as good as it is in many categories, it's also not in others. Because we need real people. You need more than a computer line. You need more than a face and a picture. You need sometimes to be able to touch somebody. And Jonathan had this kind of relationship with his armor bearer. And we need that relationship today. You know, things don't change much, really, if you think about the basic needs of people. They don't change. Centuries and centuries, thousands, millennia, things have not changed for the needs of people. And relational things have always been there. You know, do we have people that we can share our faith with, that we're bound together in faith? Do we have people we can share our concerns and maybe challenge one another and maybe even sometimes expose our weaknesses too? Sometimes that's real healthy. To say, hey, can you help me with this? People who will accept you and pray with you even after the church service is over. You know what I mean? Someone you can call up. Do you have someone like that, that you can go hang out with over coffee or call up on the phone and know they're going to make time for you because they care about your life? Jonathan had that kind of situation. And God was able to use the faith of two people bound together to destroy an enemy army. And you know, really, if you see yourself as part of Master's Road International Church, do you have those kind of connections outside of the Sunday morning service? I know some of you do. Many of you do. I've seen it. And that's been really, since we started just in my front room with a handful of people, that's always been the strength of this church. And I pray we never lose that strength. Because other than that, it becomes really impersonal, really fragile, and also can be very plastic. And we don't need that. So do you have connections here? Because life is bigger than just Sundays. And God calls us to be his people Monday through Saturday as well as Sunday. Amen? Amen. Every day. We don't turn a switch. Now it's my Christian time. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and then, go back to the old way. There's 168 hours in a week, and we spend about 1.5 to 2 of them here at church, right? Unless you're one of our faithful helpers that comes out in the cold and gets here around 9 in the morning, helps us start setting this junk up. Praise God for you guys. And by the way, if any of you want to join that, let us know. We'll be glad to let you. But God cares about the other 166 hours in our week. And if we're to be building his kingdom, then 2 hours a week isn't going to cut it. You know, the early church was fresh off of seeing Jesus firsthand. At least seeing the Acts of the Disciples, at least being around that whole atmosphere of the miracles, of the power of Jesus, of the transforming power that Jesus walked with and gave away when he encountered people. And they had experienced that. They knew that there was way more for them, and they were hungry to get more of God into their lives and help one another come along in that quest to know him. They were hungry to do this. They were not satisfied with just kind of doing their duty, playing church. They weren't happy with that. I mean, that was, you know, they wanted more. They expected more, and they knew God had more. They'd seen what Jesus had done. Some of them had heard the words he had said. And they weren't satisfied with just a short meeting. They were serious about their faith. And you know what? Their lives had been shaken to the core. I don't know if you've ever had an encounter with Jesus. You know, we always talk about our roadmap over here. That's one of our things. But that encountering with Jesus that just shakes you down to your feet. You know what I mean? I mean, it comes in and it just, boom, it knocks you. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of encounter. If I probably would never had an encounter like that with Jesus, I probably wouldn't be standing here. Because it wouldn't admit much. Somehow I would have probably tried to play it off. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that was something I ate. Yeah. You know, but instead, that encounter to get serious about your faith, when you encounter Christ like that, man, a revolution takes place within your spirit. And it changes the way you look at everything. And their lives had been shaken to the core. They could no longer just settle for a mundane religious experience. Man. How many know when I say mundane religious experience? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there, done that. Hopefully didn't buy the t-shirt. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm talking about. The experience just says, this is what we do. Just shut up, be quiet, and endure. I don't know about you. That's not a way to live. Christ shakes people to the core. He gets a hold of you at your foundation, and he will not let go when you really encounter him. They had met life, and they would do anything to share it with other people. They knew this gift that they had received came with a big cost, and that was the cost of Jesus' death when he died on the cross in their place. They were unified in their faith, and they were talking about their faith to one another and encouraging each other daily in the things of the Lord, in spiritual ways, but also in very practical ways. They were encouraging one another. They wanted to live the life Jesus said they should live, and they could not, at that point, they could not go back. So how did they facilitate this passion? How did they involve this in their life and when other people's life? And you know what? TV wasn't around. The internet wasn't around. They didn't have TV preachers. They didn't have Benny Hinn throwing his white coat at anybody. You know, they didn't have any of this stuff going on. But yet they were passionate, and they had to be real with one another on a daily basis. The need for this is still here. We still, you know, I know people that say, well, I don't go to church. I do everything. I watch TV. And it's like, you know, unless your legs are gone, I mean, unless you got a reason that you just have to lay out on a bed and stay there, that's not a good reason. Involvement. This is a participation thing, Christianity. It always has been, always will be. It's the way the Lord designed it. Real relationships. Let's look at Acts. This is a verse we've used before, and you probably heard it many times, but it bears worthy of repeating. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, like Matthew and Beggar were talking about. Discipleship is done over dinner. And to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. And it goes on to say, they sold their property and possessions, shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple every day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And this is my favorite part. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Thousands came to know Christ because people did this. Because they were so gripped with the love of Jesus, they had to share it. They had to share it. You know, love is a great thing, but if you have no way to give it away, it's a very empty thing. Love has always been meant to share. Love has been meant to give away, to receive. They understood that. Our lives are meant to be shared, and the kingdom is meant to grow. Those are things, that's just a basic concept. Our lives are meant to be shared, and this kingdom of Jesus is meant to grow. It seems these two concepts are consistently linked together, sharing and growth. That's why, you know, really, if you think about it, that's why this gospel message has spread so far in the last 2,000 years. It's not because of great printing. It's because it works. It's because it's alive. It's because it shares. It's caught. It's not taught. And that's what happened with these people. The other people would see what was going on, the reality in these people's lives, and they were missing it because one is a lonely number. And they saw what God could do in the lives of these people. And they themselves became believers because of that, by the example that was lived out before them Monday through Saturday and Sunday. So we need each other. Together, we are the church. You know, it's when we try to do the private, do-it-alone stuff that we run into trouble. Because when we walk together, there's accountability. There's conviction. The Holy Spirit can speak through other people in our life to want to help us to change. There's trust that can be built, provision, as even you saw there, people helping other people. There's belonging, feeling like you're part of something other than just yourself. That's a pretty lonely place to be. And the power to accomplish God's task that we can't do alone. It's simple. God uses his church and he uses all the components of his church to do what one can't do, but many can do together successfully. That's why Jesus always sent people out in pairs and things, because he knew they needed backup. One of the reasons we're asking for everyone to consider connect groups this year is so that our church can become healthier, because we want to see people. And here's always the problem. A church like this, you start small and begin to grow. And you begin to see, you know, I hate it when I walk around here and I talk to someone and they tell me, oh, I've been coming since September. And I'm like, oh, really? Gosh. That makes you feel like a real dud when that happens, because you want people to feel noticed, you know? You don't want to act like, oh, really? Well, thanks for coming. You know, it gets so cheesy. And when a church like this begins to grow, you go from knowing everyone to like, did that person come to church? You know, when you see them on the street, it becomes kind of like that. And you've got to understand, a church like this, there's been thousands of people come through here because people are kind of coming and going a lot because of the circumstances of the area. And this is a way for us to connect where people can feel personally involved in other people's lives more than just over a cup of coffee, as great as that is, over, you know, but doing life together every day in a way that exhibits Christ to the people around them, neighbors, people you work with, wherever, and people catch what you've got. When they see the reality that's true and lived out before them, they can't deny that. And that's what appeals to people. I know most people, you talk to them about God, they'll come, yeah, I believe there's something, a higher power, a God somewhere, a mystic doorknob somewhere that has, I don't know, you know, there's God somewhere, you know, but the truth is, the reason people want to believe there's a God, but they won't come to church things because they haven't seen it be real in people's lives. It's like, why should I want to change? Why do I want to invest in something that I don't even think is real? But when they see something that's real, they can't deny it. Shaken to the core, their faith explodes, and they want to be life givers to other people. That's how Jesus works. That's why Jesus didn't need the internet. It's just the Holy Spirit working through the lives of people in a real way to touch people where they live. And that's what connect groups are about. Being a part of the Damascus Road family is being a part of a connect group. You know, and it's also a great place, look at it this way. I know people that, and you do too, that if you invite them to come to a church service, that sounds so, you know, a church service, but they're like, we're waiting for them, big teeth, you know. But they'll come to your house. People love to eat. Yeah, y'all do. People love to eat, and people feel more welcome and invited over a meal. And this is a great way to invite people that you maybe can't get to come to church, but they're going to come in a small group like that with people that are friendly to them and open and accepting and receiving. And over food. I mean, how can you lose? So people will come to some, and I see it as a great way to reach out to people with the reality of who Christ is lived out through our lives. And if they come to church, great. But we want them to know Jesus. That's the most important part. And I think if they know Jesus, they will come to church. That's just kind of what happens. And then we can touch more people. We can have more groups. More groups reach more people. You can see how this can kind of work. More people's needs are met. More lives are changed. If we want to become more like the church Acts, we've got to become more invested and more hungry to get connected and to serve. We saw in Acts, the people desired to be together. They wanted to see the other believers. They felt loved, supported. They provided for one another. And it was contagious. It was attractive. And people were being saved daily. Hey, this verse, John 13:34-35. says a new command. Notice it says command. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, by what? By this love you have for one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's how people know that it's real. Because it's real in you. And if you really have the spirit and love of Christ, you share that with other people. It becomes a natural outflow. Remember a couple weeks ago, there was a verse, out of our belly should flow rivers of living water. Life should come from us. This is God's word. Out of us should flow life. That's who we're meant to be. Springs of life wherever we go. I said in the sermon here back called The Gospel of We, I think it was in October. I'm just going to read it here because it's a quote. I said, the litmus test for true Christianity that is apparent to the rest of this world is love. Love authenticates our faith, makes it real. Even Paul said you can operate in all the other spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, but if your motivation is not driven by love, then you're just one big irritation to the people you're trying to reach. So do we take the time to know people? Or are we reaching out beyond our friend zones? It's really easy to hang out with who you hang out. But what about the people that are over there that aren't hanging out with anyone? One is a lonely number. Someone needs to reach out to them. That's why some of you, man, I get so proud when I see some of you taking the time for a new person that's here. Maybe pulling up a chair, getting them a cup of coffee, making them feel welcome and going up to them and say, hey, tell me what's going on. Tell me about your life. Where are you from? Why are you here? What do? You know, just to make someone feel valued, because that's a big need, is value. People need to feel like they're worth something. And when they come to church, that's the one place they need to feel that more than anywhere else in the world. If they can't feel it here, I guess the next step's the bridge. I mean, where do you go for that? We need to be looking for those that have needs, are down, friendless, lonely, and inviting them for a meal, sharing Jesus honestly with them. That's how it happens. You know, if you've ever been to places like New York City, Paris, I mean, these huge cities that are around London, you see millions and millions of people. But some of the loneliest people are found in the busiest places. The most inhabited places can be the most deserted places in their heart. That's why suicide rates in big cities can be so high, because people are surrounded by people, but they're all too busy to notice them. Zip, 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 zip. People are like, am I invisible? They get bumped into, doors slammed in their face. You know what I mean? You see that all the time. And people need to be reached for Jesus. I think we have to be careful not to become or fall victim to being lazy or overtired, but to make room in our lives, even sometimes to sacrifice a little time for the sake of other people. That gift that God has given us, what are we doing with it? And will we make room for someone else? You know, will we share that with someone else? By the way, how many of you see this verse right here? This is our power verse for this week, memory verse. So you know the next question. We had one last week, right? I still have this T-shirt that I couldn't give away last week because no one, this is the verse. Does anyone know it by heart? Matt doesn't count. Does anyone know it by heart? I saw two hands go up. Okay, I think he beat you by like a millisecond or something. Is that accurate enough? You know both? The first one and the second one? See, he's trying to upstage you, Martin. He's trying to bargain is what he's doing. Okay, Martin, let's hear it.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good,
Well, all three of them, good, pleasing, perfect will. Hey, here's a T-shirt. You got to come up to get it, though. My aim's not that good. I'll knock someone's hair off. In case you're wearing a wig, you never know. Okay, so next week is the one we just talked about. And that's the verse. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You'll be able to test and prove what God's will is. Good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay. Didn't want to let that go by. Serious about this thing with the Word. By the way, on our website, you want to read the Bible through in a year? There's a reading program on there for you. No excuse for not studying the Word and getting it in yourself. You want to be transformed, get your mind renewed through the Word. Simple. That's the way it works. But you have to take the effort to do it. So every week we're going to have a verse. Think of it. You memorize 52 of them in a year. Wow. You know, Satan's going to look at you and go, I ain't touching that. Okay, well, you know, metaphor. If you've been at this church for some time, we've never approached you or made you feel part of things, I apologize. I talked to someone last week, I did that. And I'm always sticking my foot in my mouth. You know how it is? You try to be friendly and you say, hey, are you new? Well, I've been here since. And you go, uh-oh, I did it again. You know, when will I learn? It's like asking a lady her age. You don't do things like that. You stay away from things like that, you know. Learn that too, the hard way. But, so I apologize if we haven't, made you feel a part of things. I know personally, Les and I can't go around and meet everyone every week. Not that, like, that means a big deal. But I'm just saying that as much as we'd like to, you can't do it, you know. So when you guys do that and you're interacting and these connect groups that are coming up, I mean, man, I hope you're getting plugged in a connect group and the first thing you want to do is I want to invite that person. They're new. They're mine, you know, and you see them. I'd like to see five connect leaders, like, you know, fighting to get over to that person after the service. Really, to give. So three people invite the same person. Yay. If that person goes, hey, I get to choose. Yay. That's a good thing. So we desire that everyone would feel right at home in this church, wanted, needed, and that's the truth. And we also feel God calls people to churches, and we feel God's calling people to Damascus Road. I've said that to some of you that are here, and I believe it's true. If God's not calling you here, so be it. But we do think that God calls people to churches, and we feel that's true about this family here. You've heard it maybe said that Damascus Road International Church is a church from all nations. A church for all generations from all nations with one Savior. And that's true. We have one purpose, and His name is Jesus. But we want to be a church all ages from every place on the face of the globe. But the common denominator is always Jesus. It's always Jesus. He's our purpose. He's the wind in our sail. Proverbs 27:17 says this. I don't know if maybe you don't have it. I don't think I give it to you. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So when your blade gets dull, the best way to do that is get around others and let them sharpen you up a little bit. Connect groups. Did I say that enough this morning? Connect groups. Is that important? Maybe, because you heard a lot. Connect groups. And when we start this, and hey, forgive me, Matthew and Becky, I don't remember if you mentioned this, but we're going to start with these connect groups as adult groups here in the beginning because we have drum groups. Now, look, if you're a student under 25, let's say, and you aren't part of a group, we have Damascus Road University ministry groups. As a matter of fact, Arlie, why don't you stand or wave real quick? Okay, you can see her. Keith is usually running the sound in the back, helping with that. And talk to them about it, because if you're not plugged into a group with the university, do. But these groups are for now, going to be, we want to build the family focus. And so if you're over 25, married, whatever, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're younger, you don't go to school, but you're married. But we're kind of just keeping it like that 25 and over kind of thing for these groups for now. People don't do well as hermits, so if we follow Christ, we're called out of our shells and into the service. No room for selfish-minded believers who have no time for anything but themselves. I remember, I did a sermon on this a while back. There was a movie called Castaways. Remember that? Tom Hanks. And remember, he had this hectic lifestyle. It was me. He was this manager, and he was too busy for his family and all this stuff. Of course, you can see the writing on the wall. He's on a FedEx plane. He worked for FedEx deliveries, and it crashes in the ocean. He ends up getting washed ashore, and little by little, things from the plane are being washed ashore. And he finds this volleyball, and he names it Wilson because he's so lonely. He's the only one on this little island. And he finds this volleyball. He cuts his hand, and he puts his handprint on it, and he uses his blood to draw the face and find some charcoal, I think, for the hair. For different things. And he calls this thing, and he talks to this thing. And, it's always about his relationship with Wilson, the volleyball. Because his need was so strong, and then for relationships, but he had none. One was a lonely number again on this deserted island. And he realized the value, but it was too late at that point in time. He realized what he had and had been let slipping away because he thought his job, he thought his money, he thought his future in that was more important than the people he could invest in. A lot of regrets when all you have is a volleyball that you can talk to. I'm going to ask Becky to come up. Can you do that, Becky? You need help with anything? Hey, fish. Can I help you do something? You want me to hold her?
Yes, sure.
So
what we're going to do as we dismiss you is actually dismiss you directly into signing up for the Connect groups. Selena, is it possible to throw the map back up there in a second?
Maps.
So we made signs so that you'll be able to recognize each group. And my niece, Shiloh, who's visiting, and my daughter, Catherine, helped decorate the signs. Very nice job.
Yeah.
So if I can get the Northwest group hosts leaders to stand up. Can you guys hold up your sign? There you go. If you live in the Northwest side of the city or up in Belgium, if you're available on Tuesday nights, Ursula is leading that group, and Renee and Sandy and Lenakin are going to be hosting part of the time, and also Aya Pinelli are going to be hosting that group part of the time. So if you live in that region and you're available during that time, you guys will go over and sign up with them. They have a sign-up sheet where you can put your name, phone number, and email, and they will let you know the first week of their meeting, which will be the week of February 3rd. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Okay, now if I can have the city center group.
Yay.
So Elizabeth is going to be leading the city center group, and Tanasha is going to be helping her. They're going to meet at Elizabeth's house on Havenstraat, which is right in the city center, and also their backup hosts will be Matt and Christine on the Markt. So if you're in the city center or like Wick, Sarah Meek, in that area, they're meeting Tuesday nights at 6:45. So you can go to them and sign up right after the service. And then if I can have the Southeast group stand up, Patrick and Jonathan are representing for us, the TGI Friday group, meeting on Friday nights.
Yay!
Matthew and I are leading that group, and Patrick is helping us, and Jan Willem and Kali and Jonathan and Abalash will be helping us with hosting for that group. So you can go over to them, and we'll have a sign-up sheet for you guys. Thank you, guys. So what we're going to do right now is just dismiss you, if Kent wants to pray, and we're going to send you, go directly to your Connect group leader and sign up with them right now.
And when you go to your Connect group leader, if you're a newer person here and you have one of those cards filled out, hand it to them and they can give it to me, or come bring it to me before you leave, okay? That'd be great. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for every person that's in this room. You created them. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. They're created for a purpose, gifted, uniquely so that we could all work together to be a part of that hand that you want to use to reach this world. And so, God, thank you for it. Now, Father, let us honestly value the lives of others to the point that we want to invest in them. We all need armor bearers, and we all need to be an armor bearer for someone. God, use us together to be your church in Maastricht, that others might see and look and say, I want to be a part of that. That's real. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.